We're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 to 15. And you can find this in your pew's Bibles on page 968. This scripture is from Apostle Paul as he is speaking to the Corinthians in the second letter. And in this matter, God is speaking to the Christians in the city of Corinth, and these words tell us something, that sometimes God supplies us with surplus of money and possessions to increase our standard of giving. Please follow along as I read. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For if I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this word you've given us today. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give us ears to hear today. Shed light on this word, Holy Spirit. Shed light into our hearts. Show us things that we haven't seen before in ourselves and your word. Reveal blind spots that we may have. Teach us, we ask, O Lord, that you may be glorified, Christ exalted, in all that you've done. In his name we pray. Amen. My wife Kelly and I both work for nonprofit organizations. And as many of you may know, a nonprofit organization works like this. If the organization brings in more money at the end of the year than it needs to operate, then the money goes back into the ministry. Now that's different from a for-profit organization in this. If a for-profit organization ends up bringing in more money at the end of the year than they needed to operate, they keep it. Matter of fact, they give bonuses, right? The owners of the company, the shareholders, workers, whoever it may be in the company, keeps it and receives a bonus. But nonprofit organizations are funnels through which the money goes and continues to go into the ministry. Now, that's similar to the point that God's making about our lives as Christians in the text today. As Christians, and if you get nothing else from the text, get this. As Christians, we're to look at our lives as nonprofit. Right? Think of yourself as a nonprofit organization as a Christian. In other words, if you make more money than you need to live on, the money should go back out. God does sometimes give a surplus, but he gives it in order to increase our standard of giving, not to increase our standard of living. And we see that in our text today, but what Paul's telling these Christians in Corinth and how they should give their resources to the believers in Jerusalem who are in famine and don't have resources. Now, it's all built on, this is still the imp- imperative application section after verse 9, and I cannot emphasize that enough. Remember in verse 9 we looked at last week, it said this. This is Paul's motive that he gives them and purpose for giving to these other believers. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And that frames the whole way we look at life as Christians through our Savior, the Lord Jesus. That our resources are his, and we're willing to give our resources for another because our Lord Jesus gave himself for us. And so these believers in Corinth had intended to give a year ago, Paul says in verse 10. Notice they, and a year ago, started not only to do this work, but to desire to do it. They said, oh, we heard about the believers in Jerusalem who were in famine. We want to give to them because we have some extra resources. And so they intend to give. Now Paul is sending Titus and others to meet with the Corinthians and get the money that they've given and take it to Jerusalem and Judea to give to the believers who are in poverty. And they're doing this out of their excess. They have some surplus in Corinth. It was a pretty wealthy town. In a sense, it was a trade route that a lot of the businessmen did very well. And so they had some surplus that they could give. And so the principle is stated in verse 13 and 14, you noticed. Paul says, I don't mean that others should be eased while you're burdened, but there's a matter of fairness. Your abundance at the present time should supply their need. And then he gives the example in verse 15. We're going to talk about in a minute. From the Israelites in the wilderness collecting manna. He says, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. How did that happen? Because those who gathered much gave to those who may not have gathered enough, and it was evened out that there was nobody lacking in need. So as Christians, we need to examine our supply in life. That's the point here. All of us are given a supply by God. All of us in this room. Now, you examine your supply and think, what does God want me to do with it? How does he want me to use my supply, whatever that is? Has God supplied you with just enough to provide food, shelter, clothing, transportation, the things you need to live, then praise God. Has God provided not enough for food, shelter, transportation, clothing you need? Has God provided more than enough in a sense that you can live and survive and you've got even enough to live pretty well, a surplus? Now, many of you in this room may be thinking right now, the thought bubble is, I sure don't have a surplus. The bills are coming in. But I would say, you know, think about it in a standard of the world. Not necessarily of your neighbor or the person in the multi-million dollar home. Think of it in terms of the world and say, do I have enough for basic necessities and a little more? What has God given me? And then how do I look at that surplus and what it's to be used for? And we're to look at it two ways I want you to notice this morning that Paul tells us in our text. First, a surplus is for increased benefit, and a surplus is for increased giving. God sometimes gives a surplus, and it's for an increased benefit and an increased giving. Notice Paul talks about the surplus increasing, being for increased benefit to these believers in verses 10 to 12. Notice again closely what he says. In this matter about the giving, I give you my judgment. I'll give you what I'm thinking about it, colon, verse 10. This benefits you. This benefits you. You, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if your readiness is there, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Notice Paul saying, I want to tell you what's going on here with this giving that you're doing for these people because of Christ. It benefits you. Now, in what way does it benefit them? Well, that may not be a surprising statement for you to hear, because Many people in our world know the benefit of giving, right? I mean, it doesn't take a Christian to think that or understand it. Ted Turner, multi-billionaire, who started CNN a long time ago, said this about giving. Being generous always made me feel great. And it seemed like every time I gave money away, I somehow made that much more. So there's a benefit. Ted Turner saw that. Bill Ackman, a hedge fund billionaire, said this. Over the years, the emotional and psychological returns I earned from charitable giving have been enormous. The more I do for others, the happier I am. And go look on the internet for quotes or read them. You see it all the time. This is not a strange thing to think. Is there benefit in giving? Everybody pretty much across the board will say, yes, there's a benefit, but notice many of the benefits are benefits for self or man. God's out of the picture. I mean, especially from Ted Turner, Bill Ackman, these quotes are telling us clearly. It's amazing benefit. I just felt better when I gave away, and I know it helped other people. I just felt really good. It's a man-centered giving. It's a God out of the picture giving. It's a centered on a mankind in this world to say, yeah, there's benefits in this life. But for the Christian, the benefits of giving are a little bit different than that. We've got a different frame of mind and reference and way of looking at it. How does giving benefit you that Paul's talking about here? Well, a couple of ways. One that he's talking about here specifically is it's going to benefit them in keeping their integrity as Christians because they started this work, and Paul's saying it's good for your soul. It's going to be a benefit to you to finish it. Right? And you notice he says that. A year ago, you started this. So now finish doing it so that your readiness is matched by completing it. You know, don't just start something and especially start something the Lord, say to the Lord, I'm going to do this. And then a while later, change course. That's not good for the soul. It's not integrity before the Lord. Even if it's painful at this time, continue and finish what you started. And we all know what that's probably like. I was thinking about what these people went through is probably something I've gone through, and you may have too. You hear about something of a hurricane in Houston and the churches that were destroyed, and you think, I'm going to give to that. Or you hear in Haiti a hurricane comes or an earthquake and there's something destroyed, and then you hear all that. It's on the news. It's like everything you hear for that day, 24-hour news period, is about Haiti, and there's all this organizations that are giving money and asking for money. And so at the heat of the moment, you hear about this, you're like, I need to give and I want to give. And you can give a pledge and then they send you the information. And then you get it about a week later in the mail and you're kind of like, I don't feel so much like giving anymore. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff and I saw a lot of other people did give already. Do they really need mine? And you know, I had some bills come in since then. Paul says this is probably what happened to them, right? They started with a thought that they heard about Judea and like, yeah, let's do it. We're going to give. And it comes to the time to have the people come around to collect it, and they're a little bit less desirous than they were a year ago. And Paul's saying, don't do that. It's not good for your soul to do that. If you commit to something, finish it. This is good for your soul that way. So there's a benefit there, but there's another benefit to all Paul's talking about here. That's a whole biblical picture of the benefit of giving and giving money to others in the church, especially in the body who have need. It's a higher benefit that grabs the heart of the believer. And it's this way that God pulls our hearts up to Him and says, why do you want to give this? Because it's for Him. Proverbs 19 says this. I know many of you know this proverb. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord's going to repay. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. So the Lord's saying, you're not just giving it to them, you're giving it to me. And that's what stirs the heart of a believer, right? God is in the picture for giving and goes, God, I want to give to you. And that excites me to think I'm going to give to you because I love you and you have given so much to me in Christ Jesus. It's a giving to God. And that's what's enticing for the believer and enticing to know giving to the Lord and having Him well-pleasing aroma to Him. It's pleasing in his sight to give, knowing you're not just giving to the person, you're giving to him. And that's the same way in our worship, right? You're giving, but it's giving to the Lord. And to say, Lord, I love to give to you. Lord, thank you for this privilege. And that's what Paul's saying. It's a benefit to your soul because you know this is what your soul wants to do, and it's going to feed your love for God and his commendation to you as his people that he loves. And for that's an enticing thing for God's people. It's a thousand times more valuable for the believer to hear that than it is to just hear it's going to make me happy because I made someone else happy. You know, there's a tombstone that I read about recently, a man named Robert of Doncaster in England somewhere. I never didn't hear of him before, but it was probably about 300 years ago he died. And on his tombstone, he put this: what I gave, I have. What I kept, I lost. Read that again. What I gave, I have. What I kept, I lost. He's talking the same way that Jesus did, right? When you give to the kingdom of God, Jesus said, invest in something that's not going to perish, spoil, or fade, and is invested in the kingdom to come. And when you invest in that kingdom to come, it's there and you have it. It will never leave. No, it's never going to perish, spoil, or fade. Rust is not going to get to it, destroy it. But whatever you keep in this world, you're going to lose it. Why? Because you're going to die and it's gone. You ever hear, can't take it with you? You hear all the time, right? So that's what this man's saying. Basically, whatever I gave, I really kept. And whatever I kept, I really lost. It's a similar thing to what Paul's trying to impress on these believers. He's saying, you know, God gave you all that you have, resources, and this surplus he gave you is to give, and that giving is for your benefit. So first thing Paul says is this surplus is for increased benefit for you. But there's a second thing, and this is, I'd say, I want to camp on a few minutes longer, that's on 13 to 15, that God gives us a surplus for increased giving. If you have more than you need for basic necessities of life, like daily food, shelter, clothing, transportation to get to work, then God's giving you that surplus for a reason, and the reason is to give to someone who lacks. And that's what 13 to 15 is saying again. Listen closely. For I do not mean that others should be eased while you are burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need. So abundance, need. So that their abundance may supply your need. That maybe someday. There's a couple things people, commentators go various ways on that. Does he mean they'll supply your need, like someday it'll be, they'll give to you when you're in trouble, or they're giving to you spiritual need, like, you know, the gospel came from these believers in Judea, right? You remember that, Paul said. They already blessed you and gave you great benefit, so your giving back is all. But either way, that there is fairness, Paul says in verse 14 at the end. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Now, what does Paul mean by fairness? Because you notice he says it twice. End of verse 13, I'm talking about a matter of fairness. And he says it again at the end of verse 14, that there may be fairness. Now, what does he mean by fairness? Well, he means something different than the world means. Many times when we hear fairness, or it's used in our world or our culture, it means everybody has the same amount. That's fairness. Equal amount for everybody. Same amount of food, same amount of money, same amount of resources. Everybody should have exactly the same. That's not what Paul's talking about here. When Paul talks about fairness, it doesn't mean everyone gets an equal amount. Instead, it means no one is lacking for what they need as necessity. Some did have more. Some had less, but everybody had what they needed. That's his point here that he's telling them. And we know that because he uses the example in verse 15 from Exodus 16 of the manna in the wilderness. Now, what happened in the manna when they collected it? So remember, God said, I'm going to feed you bread from heaven, and you're going to go out and you're going to gather it each morning. And you're going to get just the amount your family or individual needs. So they go out and gather it, and you can imagine as a family, even, they all go out, the mom, dad, and kids go out. Mom and dad as adults, probably pretty industrious and get to work and do it. Kids wandering, oh, look at that bee, look at that bug. Like, no, get to work, pick up some manna. Like, so the kid walks in with maybe a little cup, right? The mom and dad get quite a bit. And then maybe the older siblings, 20-year-olds that are older and more mature, the girl and the boy in the family get a medium amount. And they bring it back as a family collectively, and they say, oh, they put it together, and each person gets what they need. And in a community, it's a similar way. Some are more industrious than others. Some collect a lot more. They're pretty hearty, strong, healthy people, and they're going at it. I'm collecting as much as I can gather. And then there's an elderly person in the community who goes out and can barely get a cupful, or a young person, or a little person. But the point, Paul, and this is where Paul takes one sentence out of that whole situation in Exodus 16. The point is, everybody gathered, and some gathered a lot, some gathered a little, but nobody lacked. That's what verse 15 says. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over. He had just what he needed. Whoever gathered little had no lack. In other words, God gives certain strength skills to gather much or to gather little. The point is, in the community, in the family, there was fairness that nobody was left without any enough to survive. And so Paul's using the example here for the church to say, some of you gather much in life. And that's true with all of us, right, in the church today. It's like in Corinth. Some of you may have been born into a wealthy family and you've got an inheritance. You just started off with a good amount. Some of you started off with nothing in a family, but you were industrious. God gave you strength and a hard work ethic and desire through college. You work your way through college, you get this good job, and then you work your way up in the company as CEO, and you're making more money than you ever thought you'd make. And then others of you are just at the right place at the right time, right? You opened the dot-com company in early 1990s. Then some of you gather less in life. Maybe you've got a hard row to hoe in life. You were born with poor health, and you really don't have the health that another person does in a strength, or poor upbringing with abuse, and you've got a lot of issues and struggles in life, and it's caused you to not be able to really hold a job, or you're in a bad economy, or you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. You're the guy who inherits his dad's VHS manufacturing company when the DVDs come out. But somehow you're just you gather little. And what Paul's saying here is God gives, though, some a surplus, and that surplus is not just to be used like the for-profit company to say, hey, give yourself a bonus. Point is, God gives a surplus for increased giving to those who don't have the necessities. Or to say it the way we've said several times here, Joel said it in the introduction, and this is Randy Alcorn, it's not my language, but God gives us a surplus to increase our standard of giving, not to increase our standard of living. And the world will not tell us that, and our sinful nature will not tell us that. Right? The world tells us the opposite. The world tells us to live like a for-profit company. If you get a surplus, get that better car you always wanted. If you get a surplus, go on that vacation you always wanted. Give yourself a bonus. If you get a surplus, get the iPhone Pro 11. Upgrade your phone. It's a bad phone. It's so behind the times. It's so 2017. Get the better thing. Give yourself a bonus. The world talks that way. It says, use the bonus money to increase spending on the luxuries of your life. But God says it differently here. He says, no, that's not what the surplus is for. It's not why I'm giving it to you. Instead, it's to increase your giving. Because everything belongs to God, and you're just a messenger, you're just a vehicle. Randy Alcorn has a good book, great book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity. Very good book, and Treasure Principle, where he talks about this. And one of the things he says in there is that we are like delivery drivers as Christians. You need to think about yourself like this. like you're the FedEx driver or the UPS driver. You're driving a truck with all God's stuff. The FedEx driver knows the stuff in his truck is not his. But imagine the FedEx driver gets to his work one morning, loads up the truck, leaves the parking lot of FedEx, goes to his house, unloads all the stuff in his house, and keeps it. What would happen? Well, first he'd be fired, because the FedEx guys, the boss would say, that's not your stuff. But secondly, the deliveries would grind to a halt. The people wouldn't get the things they need. He didn't take the stuff where it needed to go. And so think of that as yourself with your God's FedEx guy. God gives you a bounty of stuff. And he's saying, I want you to, I'm not saying don't eat. Don't use the stuff that, you can set your own salary as a Christian. Did you notice that? Do you know that as far as like meaning? I can set the amount that I want to keep for myself and use for my selfish self purposes. And I can determine how much I'm going to give away. And I set that level. And every one of us has to set it ourselves. We can give ourselves raises. Or we can say, okay, I have what I need. Do I really need the new thing? Or can I, this thing works perfectly fine. I don't need an upgrade. And maybe God put more stuff in my truck because I'm supposed to deliver it somewhere. And that's one place you know that God wants to deliver it is to other Christians who lack. You may not see many people like that at Town North. There are some people who lack at times, fellow Christians, here or in DFW. But think about these Corinthians and how they were going about it. These Christians in Jerusalem were thousands of miles away. They were not the local Christians who had need, but they heard about the need. And they said, we want to give to help those believers in Jerusalem. And God's designed the body of Christ to function that way. He's provided all of us with what we need and some surplus to give to other Christians who have need. And God's done that. That's how he functions with the church. He uses us as vehicles to give his blessings to his people. Did you notice that? Think about how the church functions. What are we told about the church? There's a picture in the Bible that gives us that the church is a body. And Christ is the head of the body. Christ runs the whole church in the sense of the mind and brain, makes the arm and hand function, makes the mouth speak, controls everything. But he does it through the body. Just as we're told that Christ, when he ascended, gave gifts to men for the body, for its health and well-being and equipping and strengthening, to build it to maturity. He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. And then he gave other gifts throughout the whole church so that every part of the body functions for the other parts of the body. Christ gives to the body, but he does it through the body. And the same thing, not only spiritually, but materially, to say the body's a body and it needs, we need each other. This person's in need now financially and the other person's got a surplus, so we help each other. We don't want them to be destitute. And so we think this way. We're like the FedEx guys. God's given me stuff, spiritual gifts and material gifts to use. Now, you may be here too, I was thinking. You might be thinking, I don't have a surplus. I know what that's like. You know, live on just like, we're just paying the bills, basically. I don't have a surplus. But Paul's talking more broadly than that, I think, in this whole picture. And we have to think more broadly. I would ask you that, if you don't think you have a surplus, let me just ask you one question. Do you have a closet? Just think about it. Rhetorical question. Nobody needs to answer. Because I've been in Africa and many houses in Haiti that don't have a closet. Why don't they have a closet? Because all they have for clothes is the clothes on their back. No need for a closet if you only got one pair of clothes and you're wearing them all the time. Same thing with the refrigerator. You go in houses, there's no refrigerator. Why is there no refrigerator? Because we got food for today. And we don't have enough to store for tomorrow. We don't have any to keep for tomorrow. We have what we need for today. Now, don't misunderstand me in saying that. I'm not here to lay a guilt trip on us for having a refrigerator in a closet. That's not the point. The point is, there are Christians who are in need, and by the world's standards, we do have a surplus, most of us. And we need to think that through as Christians and think a little bit more deeply about being a FedEx guy and what that looks like. Now, that may stress you out to go like, but how am I supposed to help everyone in need? There's people all over the world in need. I can't help everybody in need. I would say God's not asking you to help everybody in need. He's not asking you to help every single Christian in need, but he's asking you to keep your eyes open. Say, if you know a need, then chances are pretty good that he's got that person on your route. You can't help everybody, but you see this person. And God's going to put fellow Christians in your life at various times who do have need, and you have more than you need. And think of it as the delivery driver that, maybe God put this person on my route today. Christ came into this world to do that very thing, to give to his people, give himself for us, and he did it to make us new people who begin to think this way, because the world thinks another way. This is how we are, and when I say the world and sinful nature, I'm talking about us, all of us. It's not like the world out there is all people that think this way, but not us. No, we all collectively think this way, that I'm out for me. And bonuses, great, I can do what I want. And Christ is out to make us into new people that are shaped like him, that says, no, you're now thinking outside of yourself, and your stuff is not your own, it's his, and you're a manager and steward of what's his. And so I would encourage you today, think about these just two images. One, your life is like a nonprofit organization. And secondly, you are like the FedEx guy. It's not your stuff. It's God's stuff. He calls us to use it for his glory. Surplus giving to him. And he supplies the need. And that's why we come to this table. We're getting supply today. Do you realize that at the Lord's table? This is our supply from Christ, the supply of his grace in the gospel that feeds our souls to make us new people. Come to this table and receive today. This is Christ's giving for you. Soak it in and receive it to say, wow, what has he done? Wiping out my record of sin and making it clean. Taking my sins and crud on his body on the tree to bear my sins so that I can be set free and made the person that I really want to be deep down. The giver like him. Receive from Christ today and let it fuel you to be a giver like him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the truth. And it's a hard truth sometimes, Lord Jesus, and it's hard to apply. We ask, help us to apply your word today and what it means for us. Lord, where are the places and ways that you've given us a surplus for a purpose? Oh, Lord Jesus, teach us, lead us, help us, and especially feed us by your grace, we pray. In your name, amen.